inspiration to us, because you're, you know, when we've been out to eat with them before, and they're just, their zeal for God, and it just, it's contagious. Amen. Amen. And it's good to be around people that they have a hunger for God, you know, and they're still doing it, still moving forward, and, you know, we definitely appreciate their ministry, and it's difficult to find good people to fellowship with. It really is. Like, whoops, oh, it's okay. But, amen. So, you know, it's kind of funny talking about the believer or the Believer's Authority book you just got. I've told this story before, but when I worked for Rhema, I was in Denver, Colorado, and we had the Legacy Edition came out, which is basically that book with, you know, expanded material in it, and they had with Brother Hagin. And Marilyn Hickey came up to me, and she came out with a book about authority that same time. But she came up, and we're talking for probably 20, 30 minutes and just fellowshipping and everything. And then she's like, you know, I wanted to ask you, could I get a copy of Brother Hagin's book? And I said, absolutely not until I get your book. So I said, I'll give you Brother Hagin's book if you give me a signed copy of yours. But the interest, because she, you know what she told me? She says, I want that for a friend. And I'm thinking to myself, but you just wrote a book about the authority. But she wanted Brother Hagin's book. Mm-hmm. Interesting how, you know, it is one of the staple books. So anyway, and it was our top-selling book, and it's the most popular book that we've had. But anyway, so it's definitely something that, and I think they gave it away when we were down there in March, weren't we, at Rhema? Mm-hmm. Last March?
When we went to the Reawaken America.
Yeah, they gave it to everybody.
Aaron Antis, he gave a copy to the entire, every person that showed up, he paid for them.
So it was.
And so there's hundreds of people awesome. There.
Absolutely.
So there's people that are not born again that they got that book.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue talking about healing is the Lord's will.
Amen.
And, you know, we're coming out of the COVID junk and the stuff that's been happening for, you know, so long. You know, and I don't remember who quoted it. I know Brother Hagin used to say it, but, you know, faith begins where the will of God is known. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. Because if we have no idea what the will of God is, we have no grounds for faith at all whatsoever. That's just it. If we have no idea what God's will is, then we don't approach him. I've said this before. You know, afterwards, and I won't talk about food, I promise. Okay? All right. But whoops, it's out there. But you know, if we go out to eat, I'm not gonna go to some random stranger and ask him to pay for my meal. Because I don't know if they don't know me. I have no confidence in approaching them whatsoever. And that's the same with God. Many people, they don't know God, so they do, I like to say, shotgun prayers. You know, it's just kind of like, well, I hope something sticks, and, you know, I just hope something happens here. Well, I'm sure glad Jesus didn't pray like that when he was, you know.
Yeah,
amen. Matthew chapter 9, we'll start there. We kind of talked a little bit about this last week, but I'm just kind of, while you're turning there, I want to read Psalms 107, verse 19. And it says, bless you. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them from their distresses. He sent his word in, what? Healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If we can get in the mindset that God is in the business of rescuing people, that will take us a long ways, won't it? God is in the business of rescuing people. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and this really, again, it's when we study Jesus, and the word talks about that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything Jesus did, it is a direct reflection of the Father, right?
Yeah.
Everything we see Jesus doing, we know, we don't need to question anything, we just know he's doing the Father. We look at him and we see reflection of the Father. It says, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel? The good news. And what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You name it, Jesus was healing people. Did Jesus stop here and say, is it your will, Father? Absolutely not. He never said that. When did he say that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He was asking, is it your will for me to do this action? But he never asked if it was the Father's will to heal people. Ever. That was never, you never see Jesus going to God and say, oh, let's pump the brakes here, wait a minute. Let me see if it's the Father's will to heal you. No. But when he saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion on them. I've said it before and I said it again. Look out, do a word study on compassion. Where is compassion in relation to healing? It's close by often, more than one time.
Amen.
Healing and compassion go hand in hand. Yes. The Bible talks about faith, what worketh by love. Love is the oil. It's the lubricant of faith. You know, you're never going to do something. I mean, God's not going to work through you if you're not walking in love, right? If it's not based in love. I mean, you may see things for a while, but then eventually it's not going to happen, right? Because your character has got to be in line with your faith. Yeah. And then it goes on and it says, but verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mm-hmm. Verse 37, then he said unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. He saw value in people, right? And that's something that, you know, the world system, it just, you know, we're just, you know, especially in your business or anything else, it's about often using people to get what you want, right? Dog eat dog world. Now, we see businesses are trying to use biblical principles like, you know, integrity and you know, honesty and things like that too. Because why? Because it works. Because people will come back if there's integrity, if you're using biblical principles, people are drawn to that, even if they don't realize it. What are people repelled by? Well, they're repelled by people who are not honest moving forward. So we see that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus saw value in people. And what were people? They were the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. Mm-hmm. It's not our harvest, right? So we got to make sure we're in our own lane. We got to make sure that God's doing his job and we're doing our job. We get those streams crossed, then what's going to happen? Then we're going to see chaos, right? When things aren't going to work out. Well, I'm just trying to get them healed. But you can't heal anybody. Your job is to believe. And to have peace, right? Just sit back, have peace. Not my job to heal anybody. I can't do anything. Acts 10:38. This scripture is so valuable because it breaks down each role. I mean, I like to, when I read the scriptures, I don't just like to just, you know, I use a Cadillac and just kind of, you know, read through things and just kind of casually read through things. But when you begin to break things down, in Acts 10:38 says how God, everybody say God, anointed Jesus, say Jesus, of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So we see the Holy Ghost, we see the Father, we see the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And with power. So we see that Jesus, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with what? With power. Who went about doing good? So we know, we can define that the actions of Jesus are good, right? What are the actions of Jesus? Healing, casting out demons, right? Confronting religious folks, right? Defending the oppressed and the poor, right? You know, being a crusader of the Father's will. Being delivering truth. So all of these good things that Jesus did, right? He encouraged people. He crossed lines of you know, social taboos back then, right? You don't talk to a Samaritan woman, right? You just don't do those things. And Jesus is like, she's a person. She's a human. You know, I'm not into all of this segregation. I don't believe in this junk, right? He's reaching out to Gentiles, pagan Gentiles of that, right? Not just Gentiles, but pagan heathens that are Romans. It's like, ugh, you know, they're centurions, right? He breaks through boundaries at that time that are completely taboo. So not only is what he's doing, but he's doing it for everybody. He is not a respecter of person, but the Bible says he's a respecter of faith. What is faith? Somebody's going to approach God. What do we see in Hebrews chapter 6? That faith is what? That we believe that God exists, right? That he exists. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't see any. You got to be a Jew. And in fact, you don't even have to be a Christian. You don't have to be born again. Why? Because you're not born again, right? You're lost before you're saved. So you don't even have the unction of the Holy Spirit or in you until you're born again, right? So you're not even born again. And God still hears you, that cry of faith. And then we see Romans 5:5 that there we were instilled with what? A measure of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't even have faith, and God is still faithful to show up and give us a measure of faith and give us the born-again experience, right? Amen. That's good teaching.
Yeah.
I know, that's really good stuff. I'm kidding. But no, it's good. It's because it's the Word. It's not mine. But then we look here, and it says, we're back at Acts 10:38, and it says, in the Holy Ghost with power, went about doing good. So we know that God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are all about doing good, right? Yeah, right. So we got those three over here doing good, and then we see healing all that were, what? Oppressed of the devil. So where does oppression come from? The devil. For God was with him, talking about Jesus. So we see God, we see the Trinity over here doing good. They're delivering, they're healing people, they're delivering them from oppression, and we see that oppression comes from the devil. So why are we getting things screwed up in the body of Christ and just in the world, and we're blaming things? You know, if you've ever sold insurance, or I've got insurance licenses, you hear this thing, act of God, right? It just irritates me so much. It's like, act of God. It's like, why is this an insurance term? Why? I don't understand this. It's like, God didn't have anything to do with it, you know? But it's an act of God. And so, so the body of Christ, you know, they're always acting like there's a struggle, like God and the devil are working together to do things, and you know, and God's winking at the devil and letting him do, like a cat and mouse. It's not cat and mouse at all. It's the devil does bad things. Oppression and sickness and disease come from him, and we see that all the good things come from God, right? You don't see, because we see in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' prayer, he says, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What he's talking about is, you know, God, your will, I'm praying down heaven into this realm. I'm pulling down heaven into this dimension, into this realm where we're living right now. That's what Jesus said, that I want the things of heaven. There's no sickness in heaven, right?
Right.
I mean, there's none of that stuff. You know, I mean, you can look all day long in heaven, but when you get to heaven, if you're born again, you're not going to find sickness. You're not going to find, nobody's going to be run to, oh, this is so depressing. The streets are gold. There's no sickness. I can eat what I want and never get fat. Right? Hello? I can eat bacon all day. And it's wonderful. Right. I don't know, is there bacon in heaven? I don't know. That's a theological question I have. It's like, it's unclean down here, but it's like, okay. Right? But I mean, maybe I can play the desires of your own heart, right? Maybe I can try that. Like, well, God, you said that. Anyway. I'm like, here's some turkey bacon. It's like, what? What kind of joke is this, Lord? But we know that good things come from God, right? And we know that it's his will that none will be saved. But also, too, that we'll be healed. And so, you know, we saw so many people that if we can get the understanding of the body of Christ that it is God's will to heal, you know, so many people say, well, I just don't know if it's God's will to heal. Well, why are you going to the doctor?
Yeah, right.
So if you're coming and you're questioning God's will, I mean, you got a 50-50 chance that you may be going against God. So what if God's will is not for you to be healed, but you're at the doctor, if you're in the hospital, right? I mean, if you really want to say if it's God's will, just go home and lay in bed and just wait for something to happen, right? Just go, well, it's God's will, right? I want to show up one time with religious folks and be at the hospital and say, well, is it God's will for you? I don't know if it's God's will for me to be healed. Well, what if he's not wanting you to be healed? Why are you here? You're fighting against God's will, right?
Yeah.
I never could understand that. Well, it's just God's will. I don't know what God's will is. Can I just say something? That is a religious phrase to remove your personal responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
That's all it is. Because it's just laziness is all it is. I don't know if it's God's will or not for me to be healed. And can I say this? A lot of ministers, a lot of people, and we get these things because we lay hands on people and we don't see what we think, and then we create a doctrine of it, right? Well, that's just not be God's will to heal. No, we just even connect somewhere. I mean, Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, Jesus didn't stop him and go, wait a minute, I'm not sure if it's the Father's will for you to be healed. You know what? You spent all your money in doctors. Why did you do that? You should have came to me earlier. You should have said, he didn't rebuke you for going to the doctor. Okay, we don't have anything against doctors. And he didn't stop and say, wait a minute, I got to find out if it's God's will or not for you to be healed here in a minute. No, he was like, he didn't stop with the centurion and say, well, I don't know. You know what? You're not a Jew. You're kind of a heathen. I'm really not sure. You're unclean. I mean, I'm a Gentile. And I used to be a real heathen Gentile on top of that. So God is not a respecter of persons, but again, he comes back to faith. Those who are going to come and they're going to seek him. So there's different, and like I said before, there's different ways to receive healing. There's not, I used to be in prayer school and it's good. There's more than one way at the mountain. So, you know, we see different ways to receive healing in the Bible. I remember Adrian, one time we were in Oskaloosa and we were praying, and I just was like, what is going on here? We were praying for her and something wasn't connecting. And I got oil out, anointed with the oil, and it was like, bam, that was it. You know? And I'm going through my religious, and we can get religious because we're like, okay, we're going back to what's familiar, and that's nothing wrong with that, but we need to come back and go to the Holy Ghost and go, okay, what is it, what do I need to do? That's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? You know, Jesus spit in mud and he rubbed on people's eyes. Do I need a bag of dirt in my hip pocket now? You know, it's like, well, I need to, you know, Jesus, come here, everybody. I got a mud spitting ministry. That's not how it works, right? Well, you know, it's Jesus being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Just like, you know, Elijah, when Naaman came, he's like, well, go dip in the muddy Jordan. He's like, I am a general, and I am somebody important, and I am just, you don't know who I am. And the other military guys, wait a minute here. You know, if he would have told you to do something really silly and stupid, you would have done it. But, you know, what do you got to lose? I mean, you know, they're like talking sense into him. I mean, you're dying of leprosy here. You know, I mean, you know, we're going to be picking up after you, literally, no pun intended, but, you know.
Literally.
Hello? I mean, Elijah didn't come to the door. He's like, just had a servant, just tell him, do this. He's all mad. I want this big parade. I'm somebody important. Why? Because God isn't going to do things often the way we think we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The things the Lord's led me to do in the past, and it's unconventional to do things, right? Because he needs you to not just always rely on. Now, we start with the Word. We're not going to get into weird stuff, right? You know, there's a lot of people that, well, you need to do this. No. But maybe somebody needs to lay hands on you. Maybe you need to be anointed with oil. You know, I don't know. But again, it's a Holy Ghost, what are you leading us to do? And I think that's a key too, is we're not led by the Holy Spirit on what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We're just trying to do our own thing. Well, I just know Mark, you know, Brother Higgins said Mark 11, 22, 23. I keep quoting this and it just doesn't work. Well, have you talked to the Lord about it yet? You know, because what is faith? Faith is believe that it exists in what? And he's a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently, only read Mark 11:22. No, that we're seeking him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can seek him in this. It's always where I'm going to start, right? Because I don't want to be weird. But I'm going to go, okay, Holy Ghost, what do I need to do? You know, years ago, I was at the hospital. My aunt was there dying. And, you know, you're always going in the hospital situation and going, okay, Holy Ghost, I'm on the inside. I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to do here? What do I need to do here? What's going on? You know, I'm trying to, you know, you got your spiritual antennas up and you're thinking, And we were talking, and she had 3 days to live. 3 days. In the hospital, doctor said, you're done. You're done. And I was there, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna anoint with oil. I'm going to do this. And I had this whole plan, you know, get this whole plan mapped out, you know. I'm going to pray, and we're going to, and sitting there, okay. And I was meditating, just waiting, talking to her. And while I'm talking to people, I'm always in the back of my mind going, okay, what's really going on here, Lord? What do I need to do? Kind of evaluating things. And he said, just stand at the bed, touch your foot, and say, just say, in Jesus' name, and that's it. I don't want you to do anything else. But, Lord, come on, you know? And so I said, okay, all right, whatever. So I just touched her foot, and I said, in Jesus' name, and she just went, dirt! Like that. And I thought, all right, whatever, you know. I prayed people before, they did nothing. You know, I'm not looking at anything. And she just jerked, like, just came right off the bed and jerked. And I'm like, whoa. And so the next day, the doctor's like, I have no idea what's going on with this woman. She should be dead. And she lived for another 7 years. You know? Now, I could have came in with my agenda, what I think. You know, I had my Bible with me. I was ready to quote scriptures in 2 Peter 2:24. And, you know, I had all these scriptures down. And, man, I'm ready, and we're going to do this. Nope. I need you to say this, right? And it was like, wasn't going to be about my thought or what I thought. It was all about him, the way he wanted to do it. So healing, a lot of these things, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God, right? We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that's what's important. That's why, and then, you know, I could have done overrid everything and said, all right, you know, well, it didn't work. Wasn't God's will to heal. Wasn't this. I know we're not talking about being led by the Spirit, but you can't separate these things. You know, everything Jesus did, he was led by the Holy Spirit. The when he came up out of the water, when John the Baptist baptized him, the Holy Spirit came upon him. What's right after that? The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. See, everything, he went, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is that? What is saved? Saved is not just being born again, right? That's one thing. But what does that encompass? That encompasses all of the things of God, right? Salvation. What did he save us from? Well, he saved us from spiritual death, right? From dying and going to hell. He saved us from disease, sickness and disease, right? He saved us from poverty. We shouldn't have to live in poverty because Philippians says that he's provided all our needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? So all of those things encompass it. In salvation, he saved us. Part of that is our body, you know? I find this interesting that, you know, you'll listen to some folks and they'll, in Brother Hagin, oh my goodness, 2 Thessalonians 5:23, that scripture would be buried in my mind forever. When I go and listen to Brother Hagin teach, every day is like, open the Bibles, 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. And I was like, after about the 4th or 5th class, I'm like, dear Lord, does he know any other scriptures besides 2 Thessalonians? You know, and then I have him for faith, and it was like, open your Bibles, and Mark 11's chapter. It's like, oh my goodness, again? But he come up with something completely new, and I'm like, okay, I'm a baby. All right, I still have a lot to learn. But coming aware of the spirit, soul, and body in that order, the way that Paul talks about it, is very powerful. And Brother Hagin even brought some things out too. But, you know, many of people will just say the soul and the body. Well, it's spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is what we're born again, right? That's our recreated spirit, man. And then we have connection with God. And then through that, he connects with our mind. That's how we understand things. Our spirit speaks to our mind or with our soul. And then, of course, we live in this body. But too many people, they're unaware of those three aspects of man, I'll tell you, who was it, Jaden? Spirit, soul, and body. Man, that was awesome. Woo! Wish I knew that when I was a kid. My goodness. But he's redeemed us from all parts of that, hasn't he? Right? All three parts. And you know, when I was in denominational, you know, I mean, I was in, was a kid, it was like somebody got born again, and it was like, we all had, and that is, we celebrate. You know, we're all excited, but it was kind of like, yay, it's all done. But it's like, well, that's kind of the beginning, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of had things backwards back then as a kid. It was like, hey, you're born again. Oh, you finally, oh, it's awesome. Woo! But it should be the starting line, not the finish line, you know? And we've kind of had things backwards so many years that, I don't know. Matthew chapter 8. I got about three more hours to go. So, hope you brought your lunch. I'm kidding. It was in Africa. I'll tell you what, when I was in Africa teaching, you know, it'd be like about 2 hours long, and, you know, we're like, let's take a break. We take a break every hour, and I was like, well, I guess we'll let you take a break. But they were there, right? They were dug in. I was like, that's all you got? We got to take a break after an hour? You know, I'm like, after 3 hours, it's like, I needed a break. But I guess so. I guess we'll let you off the hook. People are hungry. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. actually, let's go down to Mark chapter 16. I'm sorry, we talked about that. I want to talk about Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Sorry about that. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is the end of Mark here. Jesus is you know, giving this commission. And he goes, verse 17, is it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Right? Believers. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay what? Hands on the sick. And if it's God's will, they may recover. Right? If you've been extra super good this week, you may recover. Right? No. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's no ifs, no ands, or, you know, well, maybes. It says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That you know, as we as believers, are just we got stuff, just we just this stuff follows us, right? It should just follow us. It should just be there, right? I remember being in Africa and this demon-possessed guy. I mean, I could see he was demon-possessed, right? And you know, a lot of people, they're like, oh, this person's demon-possessed. And, oh, what about the sons of Sceva? And they you know, they beat him up and this guy and blah, 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 and everything else. Let me just say this. You remember David beating up bears and lions? Okay? When I was in Africa, I was not afraid of demon-possessed people. And there was a few of them came. One of them came running at me one time. We were doing a crusade and everything. And I rear back like, come on. Because greater is he that's in me than in this world, right? Are you kidding me? What a joke. If you read the Bible. Well, but they're demon-possessed. Are you kidding me? The power of God in me is greater than that stupid thing in another person. Give me a break. Yes. Right? Are you kidding me? What a joke. Somebody that's completely not even born again like King David has a revelation of the power and the anointing of God and would go out and knew that God was with him. There was a covenant with him And he knew that he could operate in that covenant, and there was something greater on him than in that dirty Philistine. Right? Somebody spiritually dead, not even born again, understands covenant. Why can't we understand covenant too and take our authority, right? I'm not afraid of demon-possessed people. That doesn't bother me at all, right? I'd say some other things, but we got little ears in here too, so I don't want to talk about things. I'm just saying I've seen things where I've seen things manifest, and I'm just telling you what, they are scared of you. They are just terrified of you. You have a revelation of that. You see things in the spirit realm. They are terrified of you, right? I just laugh all day long because I know the greater one lives in me and the greater one lives in you. You should not be afraid of anything. The Bible talks about that fear is a sin. We should not live in fear. The devil wants it, and we've seen, you know, on the news and everything else, there's a spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear going around. I don't live in that realm. I don't understand those things. I just don't. Right? I just don't. And talking about just authority and living in authority, you're going to read that book that you just got, Ephesians, the first chapter. You need to read through that. 17 through 22 and chapter 3, 16 through 20. But there's also in Colossians talking about our authority. You can find it all throughout the New Testament. There is a spirit of authority. And we can use our authority for healing as well, right? Because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and no foreign thing can have any kind of doesn't have any right to be in my body, doesn't have any right to be in your body either, right? This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Me and Jesus and the Father. It says, the word says that the Father, Jesus said, the Father and I will come and make our abode in you. That's his home. I mean, are you kidding me? Like God is gonna, like, you know, oh, we're just living in the same house of sickness and disease. We're gonna live in this house together, and God's just, this is wonderful. The Holy Spirit is upon you, and it's just okay. It's okay. No. You have authority. That's one, what do you think here in Mark chapter 16 that they're talking about? This whole portion is talking about authority, isn't it? We have authority over sickness. We have authority over demons. We have, it says, we'll cast out demons in his name. We're going to speak with tongues. We're going to, you know, we have authority over serpents and anything we drink. But you better believe I was using my faith when I was in Africa. Right? And I was listening to, and if I said this, I was talking to this minister, and we'll close up here. But I was talking to a minister one time. We were talking, and if I said his name, everybody would know it. But we were talking, and he was talking about, well, you know, people just don't have faith for healing and everything. But I was like, wait a minute here. And I agreed with him, like, you're right. But then I'm thinking to myself, we do live in a hostile environment, though. Yeah. I mean, we are dealing with things that people 100 years ago didn't deal with. I mean, granted, we have cleaner water, but we're not dealing with fluoride in the water. I mean, they didn't. They're not dealing with insecticides in the food. We're not dealing with processed. They're not dealing with processed foods like we're doing now. So, you know, we're dealing in a very hostile environment. We got to use our faith for when we do eat, right? And can I just say something too? And I'm completely for doctors. I'm not saying anything against doctors. How many people never get healed of anything or get the doctor actually cures them of anything, but they're stuck on medication for the rest of their lives? Now, when have you ever seen that in any time? I'm just saying this. Yes, I understand that, yes, we need to build our faith. We need to build our faith. And I have nothing against medication. I have nothing against those things. So, but what I am saying is we live in a hostile environment that's never been like this before. Right? I mean, we're seeing things that are happening because of the junk in our foods. We were talking about unhealthy foods, right? And people are you know, often, we can go overboard in eating those things. And I am a very staunch person on personal responsibility, whether it's in the Word, and we do have a personal responsibility, right? And that's a lazy person's way. Well, if it's all God's will. No, we got to have personal responsibility at some point, right? But we do live in a hostile environment. And that means too that, you know, we have a lot of things. What I mean by that is we have a lot of things coming at us, right? In our food, right? In the air that we breathe now, often in the water, the things that we drink, everything around us is often there's things that are have not been there that was not there 100 years ago or even before that, right? We're seeing, I mean, diseases and things like that now that they've never existed. Why? Because we live in a hostile environment. So we need to use our faith on some things. So I don't necessarily condemn people and say, well, you know, this and this, and you're on this medication, and this is bad, and this is bad, and, you know, we're dealing with things. Now, if you deal with somebody like John Alexander Dowie, who said, you can't have any medication, you can't have any doctors, you got nothing here, you're either going to die, you're going to get healed, and that's it, you come in these doors. But I do want to thank, you know, him for, I don't get sued for, you know, practicing medicine without a license, yeah, right? So he's one of the guys that he got, arrested over 100 times, and he kept him saying, no, you're not. I am going to pray for people. Because you got in other countries like England, and they're arresting people if you pray, and, well, you're practicing medicine without a license. It's like, well, I'm not prescribing anything to anybody, right? But the point is that thank God for those pioneers like John Alexander Dowie who, you know, I mean, I got arrested over 100 times, and now we don't have to deal with that. We can pray for people and not get arrested for, you know, well, practicing license with, you know, or practicing medicine without a license. But it is God's will for us to be healed. And in these days, we need to use our faith on some things. Amen? Amen. And so we also need to use some wisdom as well. So again, I believe too, like the Bible says in the end times, we're going to see an end harvest like never before. And through that harvest, I believe that we're going to see healings like never before. Amen? We're going to see people absolutely different. I mean, not just in the church, but we're going to see outside the church. We're going to see Stephen saw. We're going to see, there at the gate called Beautiful. You know, we're going to see those experiences where God is just going to show up. And because of his mercy, you know, especially all this COVID junk, I really believe God's going to have mercy on people because what devil meant for harm, God's going to bring around and turn things around for his glory. And he's going to, I believe God is a God of mercy. We're going to see healings for people like never before. God is going to pour out his grace and his love on people, but he's going to use us, right? He's not going to use the world to reach the world. He's going to use the church, the body of Christ, to mount up and to go touch people. Amen? Amen. Amen. And just again, having a revelation of greater is he that's in us. You know, everywhere we go. It's a joke, but, you know, people say, like, well, you want to see a move of God? Here we go. Right? Because God's in me and he's in you. And we're waiting for this event to happen. It's like, you are the event. I am the event. That's it. You know, that's just, you know, God's like, I'm waiting for you. Like Brother Hagin said, it sure is easier to steer a moving car than it is a parked car. And so, but anyway, I overstuffed the turkey. So, you know, I mean, I got a gazillion notes here, but amen. We'll kind of, like, what do you say, Amy? We're going to shut her down. We're going to shut her down, like Amy says. So we're going to shut her down. So amen. Father, I thank you for these precious people tonight, Lord God. You're a good God. I pray blessings on them tonight. And before we leave, I always want to give an opportunity. You know, if you're here, you don't know Jesus, you've never made that commitment, ever, and you want to turn your life to him, I'm telling you what, it's the best thing, best decision I ever made. If that's you tonight, and you have like, you're like, Pastor Brent, I have no idea what you even said tonight. You know what? I went to church too, and it just, you keep coming back, and it grows on you. Amen? You begin to grow. You begin to understand things. You know, the Bible talks about growing. It's a process. You're never going to jump from here to there. You're not going to instantly be grown up and mature. It's a growing process. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand. We want to pray for you. Or if you need prayer for anything, Jesus said there, my house is a house of prayer. We want to give that opportunity. Amen. Father, my prayer tonight is that every person in here have the revelation that it is your will to heal, and God, that you are wanting and you're urgently desire to heal people tonight and pour out your love on them, because healing is a mercy. It is a grace that you're being poured out on people, Lord. We love you. We thank you tonight for your mercy and your love on us and your healing power in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a great week, everybody.